Welcome back to another episode of Quarantine with Josie and
Mac.
Today is Friday, May 1st, and normally our Friday episodes are shorter, but you're going to notice that this one is longer today because to make up for our the fact that we didn't have an interview on Wednesday, and it just wasn't our best work, really, We decided to bring an interview in today that we're super excited about with a real-life doctor. Real person. But we'll get into that later, obviously. So to start off with updates, do you have anything, Mac?
Well, in Gina's little talk today, she said that this is just in terms of Newport. She mentioned Fort Adams will reopen on May 9th.
That's exciting.
And beaches should be opening around Memorial Day if everything goes how she plans it to go, but that's not set in stone.
Wow, that's interesting. And I wonder if it's, like, beaches will open as in, like, from walks or, like,
yeah, I think it's probably with a lot of social distancing in place.
Mm-hmm. But, I'm just wondering, like, you know, like, will Gooseberry open? Like, will they?
Well, that's, I'm wondering, because, like, that's, like, kind of like a private beach. Will they have different rules than state beaches? I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know. But I think overall they do have to follow the...
Yeah, I would assume so.
Speaking of summer, aren't you supposed to do classes, or are those going online?
I have not been told yet, but I'm assuming they will be online. I have friends in the business school, and their classes are all online. Hmm. I actually meant to email my advisor today, and I forgot, but,
this is your reminder.
I'll get around to it.
All right, so, just for an update, CNN.com, what you need to know. We've mentioned this in the past few days, but more than half of the U.S. will be partially reopened in the coming days. And as we said before, partially means, like, really partially in a lot of states. The virus is likely to keep... This one is a lot to handle. The virus is likely to keep spreading for at least another 18 months to 2 years, according to a new report. So, yeah.
Wow. Hopefully they get that vaccine.
Yeah, really, it's like, until we get a vaccine, this isn't over. That's kind of the thing. But, you know, they're working on it. And like we said yesterday, there are a lot of people working on that. So, more than 30 million Americans have filed for initial unemployment claims since mid-March. That is insane. I mean, wow. The FDA issued an emergency use authorization of remdesivir in hospitalized patients with severe COVID-19. I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Oh, that's like they found that drug helps some people with coronavirus.
Oh, like it's a certain drug?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I saw that.
I was going to say, I should have like looked at that more because I don't know what that is. But thanks, Mac, for explaining for us.
Yeah.
So today is sunny. It was rainy. It was
pretty crappy.
For most of the day. And then, you know, late afternoon, the sun came out. And it's actually supposed to be really nice this weekend. And it was supposed to be a rainy weekend. And the weather turned. So I think it's supposed to be super nice tomorrow, like 60s and sunny. So I'm super, duper excited for that. I baked cookies today. I made some vegan cookies, chocolate chip, which were pretty good. Did you like them?
They were really good.
My dad has like a vegan cookie recipe that he's been doing, so I decided to try a new one. I have to say I do prefer my dad's, but
I prefer Josie's.
Oh, that's interesting. It's probably because my dad's has like oatmeal in it. It's like, yeah, it's more of an oatmeal cookie, and this one was more like your traditional chocolate chip.
That's exactly what it is.
But that's interesting. What else did I do? I had school, online, obviously. I took a quiz. I did a workout. I did a MEND workout, which is always super fun. And then I went on a run, which was really nice. It's so nice to get out in the fresh air. I love doing that. And then went on the trampoline just before I came here. So it's been a pretty good day, a pretty full day. But it is crazy for me, and it's different every day, but like some days do fly by.
Mm-hmm.
And I look up and I'm like, what if, like, I haven't done anything. How is it 5 o'clock? You know what I mean? So that was weird. When you said it was 5, I was like, what? It's a twin.
Yeah. Today I woke up and then I wrote my TED talk. I haven't filmed it yet.
Oh, that's good. You did it.
I wrote it all down. I'm not sure if it's long enough, but I'll.
Are you just gonna use your iPhone to film it?
Yeah. And then I went for a rollerblade, and then a new book came today, so I started reading that.
What
and
book?
Then it's called Under the Dome by Stephen King.
I need to
King.
Get a book.
It's yeah.
Was
so
it scary?
Far, so far it's really good. His books, I don't really find them scary. Besides Salem's Lot, that was really scary.
What about The Pet Sematary?
Oh, yeah, that was really... Okay, some of them are really scary, but most of them are just really good. Anyway, and then I didn't have any Bud Light, so I was like, oh, I'll go get some. I'll venture off into the dangers of the real world, and...
You know.
And then it was really nice, so I decided to go for a drive. So I just kind of drove around, checked out the ocean and everything, and then...
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you wear a mask in to get
Wore
online?
A mask, had my hand sanitizer.
Good.
I will say, Fifth Ward Liquors is kind of the only place I've really been.
Liquor store.
And they have tape on the ground that signifies 6 feet apart. They have a sign that says, must be wearing a mask. And like,
wow, that's awesome.
So yeah, they seem on top of their game.
I like that. That's always good to see. Oh, right. I feel like that was
I also went to a flower place that was outside, but they had a thing that said, wait here until, I think, if there's 5 people in, you had to wait until someone left before.
Yeah, that's the type of thing they're doing at grocery stores,
yeah.
I think.
So I was like,
which is good.
It's pretty cool.
So, yeah, I feel like that's good for our update. I'm super excited for this interview, so let's just get right into it.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, we are starting the interview, and we are here with Rachel, if you want to introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. I'm Rachel. I'm a pediatrician from Walpole Pediatrics in Walpole, Mass.
Nice.
All right, nice. All right. Okay, so
Rachel's a good family friend of Josie and me, so mm-hmm. It's nice to have you on. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, we really appreciate
it.
All right, so first, how did you think the United States response to the coronavirus was? How do you think they responded, and was it sufficient?
I wish they had done a better job. I think that we needed a little bit more preparation with all of our safety measures before things shut down. I think we could have acted faster. We could have had more things and supplies ready for people and families. But we were very late in the game in starting this, and that's where we saw the spike, people spiking in passing it around in some of the states like New York and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah. And then have you seen or heard of a shortage of supplies, such as the PPE or ventilators or anything?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We barely had, in the beginning, we had one or two masks. And when we had to close everything down and make everything clean, you had one mask that you would wear per day, and you'd see it for multiple patients. And then you had to basically put them in a paper bag, and you had to let them sit for 72 hours. And then you rotated with the second mask.
Oh, wow.
And then we have gowns that we use. And you normally, if you were to see a patient, you put one gown on and then you see a patient. But you'd have to use these gowns and switch them inside and out. and multiple uses. The only thing that they do have a lot of is gloves.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
But in the hospitals, too, they're very short of ventilators because there's so many kids and adults that are going down from a respiratory perspective. So they need to help them.
Is that still happening now, or is that only in the beginning?
I think it hasn't completely spiked. I think that they're getting more ventilators, and there's more companies that are being utilized to make ventilators. But I think we're still going to see a ton of people in the next couple of weeks still needing, a lot of hospitals needing ventilators and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of scary.
Yeah, very
definitely.
Scary. Then do you have any idea, how long you think the stay-at-home orders should be in effect, or?
Should be, and what they will be, because
yeah.
It's definitely a difficult, if you let everybody out, which you guys can see, everybody is dying to get out. They're excited. I mean, people are crawling at the, you know, on the windowsills and looking outside. Yeah. But the whole idea is that in the next couple of weeks, they're going to do it slowly and start doing smaller gatherings, maybe 10s and 12s and, you know, a lot, not like your family where you got all everybody coming together, but
yeah.
It'll still be with face masks on. And I think that's going to be for a bit of time.
Mm.
And you know? It probably should be until you can be certain it's safe.
Or that we have a vaccine.
Yeah.
We're still really short on our testing. So we still don't have enough testing, and it's not adequate testing. So there's three major tests that we have, and all about two out of the three are 30% effective, meaning 30% of the time they'll pick it up. They'll say, wow. Okay, you have positive COVID, but there's 30% of the time that you can go undetected and get worse.
Wow, that's scary.
And that's just the testing. And then with the antibody testing, you know, it's definitely difficult because they're trying to rush everybody to get the antibodies. There's only a couple of places that are doing it and have adequate tests that are for antibodies. So now they can't even, they have to take a while to figure out if people make antibodies, will they be immune to it again if they get re-exposed? And are their antibodies going to decrease? So they might, you know, you might spike up with your antibodies and then they go down, and will you be protected in like 6 months? Who knows?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
scary. Yeah.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Well, speaking of the stay at home, have people in your area, have they been following the guidelines and taking it seriously for the most part, or?
Definitely following it seriously. You know, you're seeing week by week, you know, as the peak up in Boston sort of started to hit, that there were fewer people on the road, fewer people at the supermarkets and at the pharmacies. Now it's starting to come up a little bit, but everybody's sort of climbing the wall because the weather's been so crummy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, I've been out with the mask on when I do my rollerblades, and I'm still surprised at how little people are wearing masks. Like, there's not...
It's impressive. I think out in the fresh air, you know, like, if you're not that far from people, but I agree with you. You know, you sort of think, like, everyone's going to be wearing them, and they should be, mm-hmm. but then you will sort of, like, I'm going to walk in this store, and I don't have gloves on, I don't have a mask on,
yeah.
and you're
yeah.
blown away.
And to do with the masks, how effective... do you think the masks really are? First the medical ones and then the homemade ones.
Well, the medical ones definitely are, you know, your gold standard, and there's a shortage of those. I mean, it's almost, I basically had to pay double or triple just to get a box of 10, from a supplier, and that was under the table. But then we have, these little surgical masks that we use at the office, and these have wonderful fibers, and they're protected more than the fabric ones. But I think the fabric ones that right now can help a lot of people, one, not give it to somebody, and then you're hoping that more people are wearing them so that they're not giving it to people. Mm-hmm. Whether they completely protect is the other thing.
Yeah,
it's better than nothing. At least they're wearing something.
Mm-hmm.
Precautions have you had to take at your house? Have you had to change anything, or you just...
And then also where you work.
That's a good question. So where we work, we definitely had to segregate. We had to segregate the two areas where we saw only sick people and only well people. And we do it in such a manner that well kids and well people are only seen, teenagers and college kids are seen in the morning time. That's when the place is the cleanest, and then it gets cleaned down again. And then we have a respiratory tent from Billy Corcoran.
Oh.
And where we have a medical tent outside, and people who are seen for sick visits are seen in the afternoon time. And those are seen out under the tent, or, you know, brought into the tent. But you're out there and it might be raining and you're seeing people. And then we try to keep everybody in their cars so that there's not a whole bunch of people in a waiting room. So everyone stays in their cars. They get called in Whether they go into the office, one door, so there's an indoor, and then there's an exit door that you go, so you never pass by anybody. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to be examined for the respiratory portion, you're actually examined in your car.
Oh, wow. So yeah. Are you guys doing actual coronavirus testing where you work?
Yep. Oh, yep. Nice. So we definitely have had about at least 40 to 50 kids that we've tested that had symptoms, and we tested them. Some of them go to other places, but there's such strict criteria that, and there are so few tests, you have to follow the guidelines and check the boxes. If, you know, you don't have a fever, if you don't have this, you can't, you know, you have to have at least one or two symptoms mm-hmm. or exposure.
Wow. Okay.
So what exactly do you do? So how long do the tests take to like process?
So the two tests that they have out, they had out first, those take 4 to 5 days to come out. So you can be pretty darn sick and, you know, have a fever, headache, body aches and chills, and you get tested and you still don't know if you're positive or negative for 4 to 5 days. And again, those two particular tests only pick it up 70% of the time. There's 30% of the time it doesn't pick it up. Hmm. Now there's a newer test that's put out by CVS and Walgreens. It's a fast, like 5-minute test. And that again, only picks it up, you know, almost to the 74th percentile. Like 74% of the time it'll pick it up, and there's that 26, you know, percent that it doesn't pick up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to really watch people and guide them, and, you know, in the sense of if you still have fevers, if you still have headaches or shortness of breath, and you're still not improving, you need to call us so we can re-examine you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then when you go home, you're living with two sons, obviously, and your husband. So what kind of precautions do you have to take when you get home?
Well, we have to wear different clothing when we go to work. So we're wearing scrub pants, which you can pull on and off, and scrub shirts, so that you're, you know, you basically take off your scrubs before you walk in the house. You wash up when you get into the house. And, you know, you shower down before you're sort of hanging out with everybody. Mm-hmm. And just like you and Mac, you know, we same thing. If you order takeout, you'd be taking out everything and taking it out of the original covering. So that's kind of like what we do. We have to come mm-hmm. out into our original covering, wash everything down, wash the bodies down, and then you get to talk with everybody.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, thank you.
We appreciate it.
I think just to finish, would you have any, like, advice to people? Like, what do you think, like anything you would say from a doctor's perspective about staying at home? Like,
well, you know, that's a good question, Joseph, because really, I think the smarter you are with regard to staying home and less spread right now, mm-hmm. and again, just week to week, it's going to be safer. The more people forget and just sort of are carefree with regard to coming out or socializing, the more it's going to go, and we're going to have a second wave faster. Mm-hmm. So if we can be smart and patient and wait it out, I think it's going to do us well, because our big thing is we don't want to see a resurgence in the fall and then have everything shut down in the fall. Mm-hmm. You know, so being smart, and the hardest part is just keeping your sanity. So getting exercise, eating healthily, you know, talking to your friends on FaceTime or Skype or whatever you like to do, a house party, you know, is huge, mm-hmm. keeping up with relationships. But, you know, at this point right now, I just wait.
Yeah. Stay home now so we don't have to later on.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you so much for talking to us. We know that you obviously have a very busy schedule, so we really appreciate it.
You guys.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah.
And when you guys come up, we can talk about anxiety and depression with all this, too, sometime.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sounds good.
For sure, definitely.
Yeah.
The teenagers and the amount of that right now, and even grown-ups, too, and parents are just blown away. So mm-hmm. this is a very, very strenuous struggle for everybody. So, you know, having a little bit lightheartedness, being happy, you know, cracking a joke, watching comedy, listening to your podcast is huge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you so much. We'd love to have you back. You're always
welcome.
Hopefully
we can see you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This summer everything clears up a little bit.
Yeah, hopefully.
Well, I might sit in your driveway in my car and just wave.
Yeah, that'd be great. We miss you.
All right. Bye, Rachel.
Bye.
Thank you
so much.
Bye, guys.
Oh, right. That was probably one of our best interviews.
I was just going to say, I think that was up there for our best interview. Finally, being able to talk to someone who really knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, knows what they're talking about. Because we can say all the news that's going on and we can, just read statistics and stuff. But it's what she's saying because she's actually there and she's actually experiencing it. And what I think that is so amazing about Rachel is, and so many of the frontline workers, is how positive they seem to remain. And it's like, I think that you have to be a really hard worker and you have to be a certain person to be a doctor because it's hard, or even a nurse,
they're
any of those things.
They're putting themselves in danger every day for us. So we have to appreciate that.
Yeah, so that was an awesome interview. So awesome, so great of her to come, especially since after such a long day of working every day that she would take time to even just talk to us is amazing. So we really, really appreciate that, and we hope you guys enjoyed it too.
If you're not going to listen to me and Josie about staying at home and following the guidelines,
you got to listen to
her. To a medical professional.
Exactly, exactly. All right, let's get into the end of the episode. All right, let's get into the next segment of our episode, which is sort of, our conclusion of sorts. So we're going to start with the answers from yesterday's question.
Yes, so yesterday's question was, what is your quarantine snack? Dave Byrne answered the question. He was the one who posed that question. He said, Oreos! ! Maggie Wetzel said, I've been eating too many granola bars. Did I say there's no such thing as too many granola bars? Eat all the granola bars you want. Kaylee Fry responded, chocolate anything.
I like chocolate, dark chocolate with peanut butter.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Mm. It's kind of like a Reese's homemade style.
Yeah, kind
of. Anna Murphy responded, chocolate covered strawberries. Amelia Reed responded, good old popcorn. Heck yeah,
like
that's
you.
What I'm talking about, Amelia. Cecilia Lord responded, Cape Cod chips. Blanca responded, cookies. And Mary Lee's responded, Oreos. So that's
nice.
All of them. All
right. Glad to see all our listeners are super healthy people.
Hey, well, it's good to have snacks during this time.
No, yeah, it's true. I'm right there with you. Okay, so
should we do our listener question?
Yeah, listener question.
So again, from Daniel Lord, he asked, "What's the best album of 2019?"
Okay, so I looked into this a little bit, and there aren't that many albums that were my favorite ever. But Thank You Next by Ariana Grande, probably. There were some good ones on there. Thank You Next.
Was Seven Rings on it? I'm not sure
because I liked Seven Rings and I liked Thank You Next.
I think Seven Rings is on it too.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. Oh,
maybe.
I'm not sure.
We'll just say it is.
Yeah, we'll pretend.
For me, mine was probably Baby on Baby by DaBaby.
Yeah, it is on there, Seven Rings.
It was a good album. I'm sure I'm missing something. Trying to think if Lil Wayne's album came out in 2019.
There was a Kacey Musgraves album I really liked, but it was 2018. Yeah, so
it's hard to remember what song. What
so final answer
with.
Though, Thank You Next and
Baby on
Baby,
Baby
on Baby
by DaBaby.
In case you needed to.
Lots of babies.
All right. So then our next two questions we're getting from conversationstartersworld.com. The first is, where do you get your news? Like, what would you say your main news source is?
I would say Twitter, truthfully. Like, I'll see something's trending, and I'm just like, oh, what happened? And then I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, there's big news, like, things on there.
And so, like, it's not like I go to CNN, and I'm just like, oh, you know?
Yeah,
so
you just
like
are
Twitter,
on Twitter, and then you see.
And then I see CNN tweeted something, and I'm like, oh. So, and then I look into it. So Twitter's probably my biggest news source.
I'd say NPR is playing in my kitchen, like, constantly. Because it's what my mom listens to, so probably that. I also am a big fan of The Daily, which is a podcast that does news, and then The Week, which is a magazine. So, covers all areas. All
right. Yeah.
Cool. But there's tons of good news sources. Oh, right. What was the other one? What movie can you watch over and over again without getting tired of it?
This is an easy one for me. It's Miracle.
We've done this question.
Have we? Yep, I think we have, when I answered. Well, you guys got it again. Boom. In case you missed it.
I'm like, wait a second. I remember saying that I didn't like rewatching movies, but I don't remember what I said. I do like the movie Notting Hill.
I wish we wrote down all of our answers. So
I know. We do a few repeats.
Whatever. Keeps the listeners on their toes, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there turns out there aren't that many websites with, like, good questions. So that's something you could get into, you know?
Yeah.
That's why I like the listener questions. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to ask you guys again over the weekend. I'm going to want some questions in our DMs or just on Instagram, so...
Yeah, great. Okay, let's finish up our episode with our new little addition, which is we read from the book 14 Things to Be Happy About.
14,000 things.
14,000, not 14. That would go by very fast. Barbara Ann Kupfer, and I'm pretty sure we do three things. Well, until we find something that we actually find to be happy. Okay, so I opened it up randomly. Point. An authentic Irish wool tweed tie.
Ooh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. I don't have one of those, but if I did,
I like that. That makes me happy, like just hearing it. Like, I'm like, wow, that's cool.
All right. Ooh. Big checkerboard plaid.
Okay.
Works for me. The one I actually landed on was vegetable combinations. I just went to the one below it. I was like, vegetable combinations aren't making me happy.
I love vegetables. Okay, one more. Just for the fun of it. Carrot tops.
It looks cool in cartoons when, like, Bugs Bunny pulls it out of the ground. So, it makes me happy.
Yeah, and I feel like you can also think of Carrot Tops as, like, people with red hair.
Oh, yeah, there's also the wrestler Carrot Top, so.
My niece and nephew, well, all my nieces and nephews, actually, have red hair, and I love them all, so, you know.
Yeah,
that one's great. Okay, I feel like that.
That one's pretty quick.
The books that we do. This book segment, I found that, like, we always try to make up, you know, reasons for why the things actually make us happy. And they're just so random. I'm like, why is this in the 14,000 reasons to be happy? Like, why can't we just get something like skipping? I guess there's 14,000 things.
Skipping is
It's definitely in there. All righty.
So,
that
quotes?
Is going to... Oh.
You always forget quotes now.
I know, I do.
All right. So, my quote to continue the movie... theme I've been on is from Good Will Hunting, Robin Williams' character, and he goes, "Some people can't believe in themselves until someone else believes in them first." And I think that's just good. You know, if your friend says, "Hey, I'm going to try to do this," believe in them, and then they'll believe in themselves.
Okay, this is from Facebook. It doesn't quote anybody, but a true hero isn't measured by the size of his strength or his or her strength, but by the size of his or her heart. And this is kind of dedicated because of our interview with a doctor today, because I think that, you know, all those frontline workers and all the essential workers right now are really standing up, and I think that they are heroes, especially right now. So that's important to remember. Alrighty, I think that we covered everything.
Yeah, I think we're good.
I hope that you guys have an awesome weekend. We will see you Monday. Enjoy the good weather. Try to go outside if you can. And just have a totally awesome rest of your weekend.
Heck yeah.
Stay safe.